You are listening to Community Spotlight on Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Our purpose is to enhance public awareness of our featured nonprofit or advocacy organization in Grant County and surrounding area. I'm Candace Burke. Today I'll be talking to painter and graphic artist Ann Lowe. Ann Lowe has an opening reception for her Dream Diva paintings at A Space Gallery in Silver City on Friday, June, that will be June 7th, 2024, from 5 to 8 p.m. And the exhibit will be up through July 31st. Welcome to Community Spotlight, Ann.
Thank you, Candace.
Now, before we hear all about this exhibit, and listeners, Ann's paintings are phenomenal. They are so beautiful, and I'm so excited. This is why I felt she really needed to be on here today. Share with our listeners all about your very interesting life that led up to your being an artist, including you moving to London. You were an art student at the Goldsmith University of London Art School. So tell us more about that.
Okay, well, when I was 25, my grandfather left me a tiny bit of money, and I used it to go to England. I was interested in textile design at the time, and they had really good schools there. So I started off doing textile design, but then I went to I transferred to Goldsmiths because I was more of a kind of a conceptual artist. I wasn't really a textile designer because I wasn't really interested in fashion or anything like that. And so I ended up getting a degree from Goldsmiths, and I lived in London for 4 years. And then I went to New York City and lived there for 11 years. That's where I started doing graphic design to make a living. But luckily, I found the Members Valley, and I was able to move there.
How did you find Members Valley?
I had this book called Creative Visualizations, and I started visualizing a place in New Mexico that I could go to in the summer, because I used to live in New Mexico in the early 70s. And so I visualized it. I had it pretty much in my brain, a few old adobes in the desert with mountains in view. And then I went on a camping trip in the Gila wilderness and met this rancher and told him what I was looking for. And sure enough, it was down the road. And the person selling it was my high school art teacher from Virginia.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So it's like this place, Silver City and the surrounding area, is kind of my mystical, magical home. And it saved me from having to live in New York City any longer.
And we're all the luckier for it that you're here.
Well, thank you.
And now, living here, you know, tell us more about the experiences you had as an artist in the early years of living in New Mexico.
Well, when I lived in the Members Valley, I had an idea that I've always drawn these abstract shapes, and I've never really, they come out of nowhere. That's why this show is called Dream Divas, because divas are kind of like a helping force that comes when I'm in a creative space. And it's like that for everyone. There's like a mental way of doing things, and then there's a more intuitive way that comes to you that makes you know you're on the right path. So I decided to apply for a grant to from this place called New Forums Regional Initiatives in Houston. And I decided to make signs out of all these strange shapes I was drawing. And so out in the Members Valley, there's still a few signs left. There used to be 8 of them. And I put them right on private land, and I made them really large so you could see them as you drove by. And I realized that people were looking at them and then coming up to me and saying, "I know what that means." And I would be like, "Really? What does it mean?" And so it taught me that people really see all sorts of things in art. It's not like I'm going to make something and specifically everybody's going to get what it's about, because everybody sees different things. So that was one thing I learned from that show out in the Members Valley.
Well, I'm going to quote, I love this. This is from Anne. Devas create all form. I set an intention and open a space to merge their forms with the canvases. I prepare without a preconceived idea. Devas speak to me through dreams. I think that's just beautifully put. Now, my dreams, Anne, doesn't help me evolve past stick figures. What's up with that?
Well, the main thing is, like, the reason I started painting the surface of wrinkles is because I didn't want to do anything preconceived. You know, I just wanted it to come to me, you know, like out of the space of the painting, I wanted something to happen. And so that's why I do it on wrinkled canvas, because the canvas speaks to me. And then I start painting on it, and all these little weird shapes show up, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what those are. And a friend of mine who's really into esoteric things said, Anne, they're like devas. And I'm like, yeah, they are kind of, because they have, they're like animation. Oh. They're almost like little cartoon things that just pop up.
They're so beautiful. And, you know, before we go into the different paintings that's going to be on the exhibit, you know, if you talk to us more about some of these dreams you've had that have inspired
I decided to start painting my dreams because sometimes I have these amazing dreams and I just want to see what they look like. Like on the one that I did called Montmartre, I had this feeling that I wanted to paint something really big. And so I did a canvas. I prepared a canvas that was 4.5 feet wide by almost 7 feet high. And then I got it all gessoed. I had all the wrinkles in it. I get the wrinkles in it by, I put it in the bathtub before I gesso
it. You wet
it
down, right?
And I wet it down and I kind of scrunch it up and get it wrinkly. And so I had prepared this giant canvas and I was like, well, I wonder what I'm going to paint on that. And it was just this big white thing. And so then I had this dream of this giant white mountain. And so I knew, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to paint on that. So I did. And
listeners, it is so beautiful. I have seen this painting. It's one of my favorite paintings. Just wait till you see it.
Yeah, so it was like I was on this train traveling in the dream. I was on this train traveling south of Paris. I looked out this window, and I saw the most gorgeous white mountain out the window. And I knew in my dream it was called Montmartre. And then I started, like, after I painted it, I started thinking about, like, well, what's in this painting? And in a way, it kind of looks like glaciers calving. And then that led me to think about, like, in Hindu religion, they, in churches, they have a lingam and a yoni. And they pour yogurt over the lingam, which symbolizes the male, and it flows down into the yoni shape, which symbolizes the Ganges River and the sense of creativity. And so that's kind of in this painting, too. But all of these ideas came to me after I painted the painting, and I started trying to understand the depth of what the dream was trying to tell me. Then I Googled Montmartre in Paris, you know, the beautiful church up on the hill, and I learned that it was made out of this white travertine limestone that exudes white powder when it rains. And so in the painting, too, it's like there's this white powdery essence coming off the top of the ridge of the mountain. So that's why I like making paintings for my dreams, because there's all sorts of layers of things going on that I could never in my life preconceive.
And it's gorgeous. Let's hear about evolution.
That was a dream I had about a circular shape with all of this sense of fertility in it. And so I just made a canvas that was about 4 feet by 4 feet, And I scrunched it up, got it ready to go, put a circular shape on it, and then just started trying to find forms in it, which just popped out all over the place. It took me forever to do this painting because it was so rich in forms coming through. And so they're kind of like forms before they become something. Like how in nature is constantly creating, yeah, creating. And this is how this was. You know, it's like, okay, this is this idea of evolution and things continuing.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And let's hear more about Captured Dreams.
Okay, so those are five paintings I did. I listened to Vita Austin on a podcast, and she has this interesting book called The Sacred Intelligence of Water, Macroscopic Evidence of Water Responding to Human Consciousness. And so I created these circular, I cut out these circular linen shapes, wrinkled them up, got them wet, put them next to my bed before I went to sleep at night, and then I set the intention that my dream would be in the shape. Because Vita Austin does that with little petri dishes of water, and then she freezes them when she wakes up,
wow,
and her dreams are often in the shapes, or
just,
in the frozen water.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing the mm-hmm. way this sense of magic works with art. But so
in your case, it is magical. What I've seen of your paintings, it's truly magical.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so...
And listeners, we are talking to Ann Lowe, GMCR, and Ann Lowe is a brilliant artist, and she's here to talk all about her art and upcoming exhibit.
Yeah, so I did five of these shapes. One of them in particular blew my mind, because like I basically woke up from sleeping in the morning, and I just had this thought: the eclipse will be obscured by shadows. And then I looked at the little thing that I had next to my bed. I took it out, opened it up, gessoed it, and there was a perfect crescent shape in it, like the moon.
Wow.
I mean, like the sun.
Wow.
So that was pretty amazing. And then this other one I did, I had this weird dream that there was a house plant with two sweet potatoes on it, a small one and a large one. And so I opened that up, and sure enough, there it was. There's like two sweet potatoes there. And it was pretty much in the wrinkles. It wasn't like I faked it or anything. It was really in the wrinkles.
It really was.
Yeah. And it reminded me that the last painting I gave to my stepmother was a painting of a sweet potato. So I feel like she was kind of there with me in the dream.
Oh, yeah. I wonder whatever happened to that painting, the sweet potato
painting. I was trying to find it. I think I gave it away to somebody. I can't find it. Yeah.
So with Fault.
Fault was this interesting dream I had, that I was looking down into this deep hole, and there was a cliff, of sheer rock cliff with a giant fault in it. And I thought, I'm going to paint that, because it's kind of like the dream is saying to me, just like in life right now, nothing's lining up. All the strata that used to line up isn't lining up anymore in our society. So there's this giant fault going through things.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily whose fault, it's just a fault. And it's just there. So I painted that one too.
And then we have, well, it's no longer, Thought Forms. Let's hear about Thought Forms.
Well, Thought Forms is one I did quite a while back in 2021, and it was also on wrinkled linen, and it just, I decided to make it, since I used to be a textile designer, I like the concept of things repeating, and so with these two panels, they repeat top and bottom and side to side, so you can hang them horizontally or vertically, and they are just basically, I just let whatever showed up in this painting, and it was not preconceived, but there's all sorts of interesting shapes, like a fish and a beautiful rose flower, and some forms that are not really formed yet but are in the process of becoming something.
I love the wrinkled linen. I love that look so much.
I like it too because it makes it so that I don't have a preconceived idea. That's the main idea. That's why I work with dreams, because I know that they're rich in meaning, and I know that I don't have to think up anything to make some kind of interesting painting.
Yeah.
I can just let the dreams kind of speak through me. Yeah.
Now, the one painting is no longer Desert Essence. It's another name now, right?
Yeah, there's one I'm working on right now. I decided instead of calling it Desert Essence, I would call it Rumi's Field. Because it's a dream that I'm driving in a car with friends coming back from Palomas, and I look out and I look out and I feel such a rich magical feeling coming from the desert. I say, "Let me out. I need to lay here for a while," and the horizon line was totally flat. And it was just such a beautiful, beautiful place.
It was so spontaneous, wasn't it? It just rushed through you. And what did your friends say when you said, "I need to get out and lie"?
Oh, they were like, "Oh, okay." And they let me out. And then they kept driving back to Silver City. And then later somebody came
in. And they didn't leave, but they didn't leave her there.
They left me there.
Oh, you did? You were left there.
Yeah, they left me there. And then in the dream, somebody else took me back
to
Silver
City. Okay, good, good.
Yeah, so it was like, no, I have to lay here for a while. And so then I started realizing I'd told this dream to a friend, and she was like, "It's like Rumi's Field." And I'm like, it's totally like the poem Rumi's Field, which is, "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. Ideas, language, even the phrase, each other, doesn't make any sense."
Perfect.
Yeah, it was just like the feeling of laying in that field. It was just like, wow, I just have to get out here and lay here for a while.
That is phenomenal when you think about it.
Yeah, and it feels really like a good thing to know right now in this political situation where it's like there's no right doing or wrong doing. There's just the essence of this beautiful, beautiful place.
Yes, and incidentally, listeners, Ann Lowe is not only a brilliant painter, she's an amazing community organizer. I just had to throw that out. Which is why another good reason you're here. You do so much for our community.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
You truly do.
I do like to help really good people who are running for office.
Now, again, I know our listeners are probably curious again about where and when and how of your exhibit. So if you could repeat that.
Sure. It's going to be on Friday, June 7th at A Space Gallery, which is on 7th Street. It's got those amazing murals that Jean Beffort makes. And his gallery is great because it's so creative. It's just full of all sorts of interesting art. And I love his gallery. And also, like, his gallery is great for really large pieces of art. One of my pieces, Montmartre, is almost 7 feet tall.
It is huge.
Yeah. So we're going to have an opening there on June 7th, Friday, from 5 to 8, and it should be really fun. Yeah. I've invited a ton of people, and so a lot of people will be there, and I'm going to have a printout of all of my pieces with the picture next to it, so you can read about the dream I had and how it relates to the painting.
And it's going to run through the end of July.
Yeah, it's going to be up for 2 months, so it'll be there through July 31st.
Yeah, listeners, you have to just see this. It's just remarkable. What else would you like our listeners to know about what inspires you? What other projects maybe that you might be engaged with?
Well, let's see now. I'm going to be going out and working my butt off in the presidential race to make sure you know who doesn't get reelected.
Yeah, that's right.
And
someone who we're incidentally waiting a verdict on by any chance.
That's right. Yeah, but mostly I think that's about it as far as the paintings go. I just like to be able to create a situation where I can paint without a preconceived idea. Or else, if I do have a preconceived idea, it comes from a dream, which I know has many rich layers to it.
As we're wrapping up today's show, what else would you like for our listeners to know about your work?
Let's see. I can't think of much. Let's see. It just means a lot to me. It's how I connect with my spirit, and it feels really important for me to do.
I liked what you said before we were live interviewing, how, you know, it's so important for you to be creative is that you have a good balance in your life. We are not overdoing it.
Yeah.
You have to just create that balance for yourself so you can maintain your creativity. Talk more about that.
Oh, I spend a lot of time doing nothing.
I love that.
And now that I'm retired...
Vastly underrated, I might add. Vastly.
Yeah. Now that I'm retired, I'm like, oh, wow, I can do nothing. And I take a nap almost every afternoon, which is really nice.
It replenishes you.
Yeah.
And nothing is everything, listeners. Nothing is everything.
Yeah, and I find that, like, the day does not require me to do stuff all day long. I usually do stuff in the morning. And then by 2 o'clock, I'm like pretty much done and it's time for my nap. So I basically don't do a whole lot, although I do manage to paint. And once I get going on a painting, I'm pretty much involved with it until it's time to stop for the day. And then I take it up the next day.
And so when you get up from that nap, is there a ritual after your nap that you usually indulge in or...
No, I just relax. Like I sit out on the deck and try to wake up. I have a very relaxed lifestyle.
You do. I learn a lot from hearing about it. I really do. Are you doing any kind of graphic design these days?
I do graphic design for political candidates. I do their flyers and their ads. Yeah, so I like to do that. I usually donate those services because that's how I can give. Since I don't have a lot of money, I just donate graphic design services. And there's some great people running right now, so I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And that's part of what you do, the community organizing.
Yeah, and I like to have house parties at my house for candidates. My father used to do that when I was growing up in Texarkana.
Yeah, share with our listeners a little bit about that. This is interesting. We have a few more minutes here.
Well, he used to like... his friends would run for, like, state senator, and he would have big gumbo parties in our backyard in Texarkana. And so I kind of learned from him that that was, like, a pretty fun thing to do. So my parties aren't as elaborate as his. It's just a simple kind of get-together, but I like to do that for candidates.
Well, thank you, Ann. It was a joy having you here today. And listeners, you got to go out and look at her incredible art, her paintings are just amazing.
Thanks, Candace.
Community Spotlight airs every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. and is available online at gmcr.org. You have been listening to Gila Members Community Radio, Kuru 89.1 FM, in our beautiful Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. I'm Candace Burke. Thanks for listening.